Since 1984, the Elfin-friendly Press Partners has focused on developing future leaders in journalism from around the globe. The focus is often on countries in conflict and transition. Fellows engage in a six-month fellowship program at major media outlets such as the Kansas City Star. Fellows tend to be people who can remind us that freedom of speech and freedom of the press are not rights to be taken for granted. Joining us now are three fellows currently in the program. The fellows joining us today are Mercy Odhiambo from Kenya. She's working at the Oklahoman. That's the largest daily newspaper in Oklahoma covering the Oklahoma City area. Mercy, nice to have you. Welcome.
Thank you, Steve.
Olena Goncharova is also here. She's from Ukraine. She's working at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette out in Pennsylvania. Olena, nice to have you.
Thanks, Steve.
Goce Aytulu is from Turkey, and he's working with the Kansas City Star. Goce, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Steve.
I'm wondering what the three of you think about the way journalism is practiced in this country and the freedoms we have here now that you've been able to spend some time in this country. Goce, what do you think about it?
It's correct. I'm from Turkey. We are facing big issues such as freedom of speech in Turkey recently. And now here,
and things are getting worse, supposedly.
Yeah, in recent years, it's getting worse and worse. And that's about politics and business and all around the relations in the region. I mean, because Turkey is struggling with refugee crisis, Syria and European Union, and all of the crisis makes sense for about freedom. Mm-hmm. Here in Kansas City, I work for editorial board, and it's really interesting. It's an amazing opportunity for me. It's such as important. I can realize people, the freedom of speech, very important thing for journalism, and they know that, and they just exercise every news stories, every editorial thing, every comments.
There's no hesitation here, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Olena, how about you?
Well, I would say that in Ukraine in recent years, situation with freedom of press improved significantly. It was pretty bad in 2013 when we had our former president, Viktor Yanukovych, and many of men close to him tried to buy as many news outlets as possible. Mm-hmm. And our newspaper and our chief editor, he also worried about the fact that we might have been bought as well, but thankfully it didn't happen. Our paper has been independent for all 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
By now, so, well, I could say we are in a pretty good shape, but still, it's good to be here in the United States and just to see how the standards work and what I can bring back home and how I can improve situation not only in my newsroom, but maybe I can go to some universities and share the knowledge with the students.
So things are better in Ukraine, but are they where they need to be completely, in your view?
Sorry?
Things are better in Ukraine. Are they where they need to be, in your view?
I think right now it's like, you know, it's still a room for improvement, but it's in a pretty good condition. But I am pretty sure we can make it better.
Mercy, tell us about Kenya.
Well, for me, this has been really different because I come from a background where I used to cover war, conflict, and just really sad stories. And coming here at the Oklahoman and doing news on health, you know, happy news, at least is a good change for me. I needed that to balance my emotional state as a journalist.
Mm. And that's because you were doing too many sad stories.
Yes, I was doing too many sad stories and I was breaking so much with these stories. And I think I needed to just take a break and do happy stories, which I am now doing, thankfully. In terms of
The sad stories you were doing in Kenya were on topics like what? Give us a sense.
Like terrorism, you go to cover a story where the Al-Shabaab got into a university and killed 147 young people. And you are the one who carries this news and have to tell the parents that they are no more. It's like I had this responsibility where I broke really sad news to people. Sometimes there was so much uncertainty, and my role as a journalist was to step in and clear everything. And sometimes, most times, it was just to tell them things are bad.
And this took a toll on you, it sounds like.
So much, so much. The last stories that I did just before I came for the Alfred Friendly was when the Al-Shabaab had killed the Kenyan army, and we are talking about more than 200 men dead. And I had to go to the airport and wait for their bodies to return. And that was almost past midnight. And families are waiting for you because you kind of have a message. They're hoping you'll give them a message of hope that they're survivors. And then you have to go and file your copy and say 200 dead.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the one who carries that message so many times. That was the last story that I did. And I was doing stories on people dying of cancer, people, so many sad stories.
I'm wondering about freedom of the press in Kenya. I don't have much sense of it. What is it like compared to this country?
Well, I have not really been keen on how the American press is, but in my country, in as much as they say you are a free press and everything, but the government pays for adverts in the newspaper, so they pay you indirectly. And your editors say, you know, we cannot run that story because the government is our biggest financier. So the freedom of the press is curtailed in the sense that they are advertisers, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goche, again from Turkey, what surprised you most about what you've found in this country about the way journalism works?
Personally, I wrote and still write on international stories, and such as refugee crisis, Brexit, and
right.
The other things all around Europe and Middle East. And I realized that people love that stories. It's simultaneously they focus on local stories and the international stories.
We worry here that not enough readers have enough interest in international stories, that there's a lack of interest. Are you seeing it differently?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When I wrote some pieces about refugee crisis or Brexit, they responded me a lot of, I got lots of mails.
Lots of emails, yeah. Yeah, and that's exciting.
Really exciting.
Yeah. Olena, how about you? What surprised you most about how this country works when it comes to its journalism?
When it comes to journalism, I think the thing that surprised me the most was how the newsroom in Pittsburgh operates. Because in Kiev, in my newspaper, we usually sit at work maybe until 7 or 8 at night every day, even though we are a weekly paper. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is daily, but most of the journalists are done by 5 or 6 p.m. I was
wow.
like, really? So are they free now? Are they just going home? But the thing is, they just structure their work much better, and I think they have some efficient way to think how they need to plan their work throughout the day,
mm-hmm.
which I really hope I will understand and solve this puzzle by the end of my fellowship so I can be in that home as well.
Mercy, again, from Kenya, tell us where your interest in journalism came from, because your life story just fascinated me.
Well, I came from a life history where I had passed my examination and I needed to go to journalism school. I really loved reading and writing. But then in Kenya, going to college is not so easy. I know so many people who pass the examination, but they simply cannot afford it. So I used to just go to a cyber cafe, like a place that has computers, and I would work for the owner of that cyber cafe, and she would allow me to use her computers for free. And then I will just submit stories. I wrote so many stories, so many. For 2 years, I did that every day until someone noticed me and told me, I will pay for your education. And that ultimately changed my life.
Now, this was somebody from the state of Minnesota.
Yes.
Who was reading your posts over in Kenya.
Yes.
And took a great interest in you.
Yes. And she wrote to me. And that question that she asked me, I think, defines who I am today. Because she asked me, who are you? And just simply by someone asking you, who are you? And I explained who I am. And then my story just changed because she asked me, why then are you not in college? And I said, well, my mother is a fishmonger. My mother sells fish. She cannot afford to put me to school. And then they said, well, we'll come together. And it was not just one woman. It was so many women in Minnesota who came together and raised funds, $2,000, to take me for my first semester of college and told me, let's see how you perform in this. And I knew my life depended on that. And I read like crazy. And so I graduated top of my class. Not because I owed them, but it felt like the right thing to do for someone who's never met you to just ask you, who are you? And we are willing to take a shot on you. That really was amazing.
That's an amazing story.
It is.
There's a word for that in America, serendipity or incredible good fortune.
Yes.
That they found you on the internet and then paid for your college education over in Kenya, right?
Yes.
Yeah. When you were 20, you witnessed a village man sexually assaulting a girl. And I bring this up because I want our listeners to have a sense of where you came from. You reported the crime. You went and told the authorities about it. Mm-hmm. And then what happened to you?
Well, I was arrested, first of all. Because when I told the story, the girl who had been sexually assaulted, I think, got really scared and did not come forward. So she left me holding that story because she got really scared of reporting and she got really scared. So it was just against me, against, you know, what she had told me and everything. But I am happy that it worked right because doctors actually tested her and found that she had been sexually assaulted.
And they let you out of jail like
yes,
a day
did.
Or two later, right?
Yes, they yeah. did. How did you find that?
Oh, I know what you have for breakfast this morning. that's what good radio talk show hosts do.
That's here. Really scary.
Where's your career going? Where do you see yourself in 5 or 10 years?
I hope that 5 or 10 years from now, I would be an editor. I hope so.
In Kenya?
Yes, in Kenya, because in my country, you don't find female editors. If you are going to be a female editor, they will just perhaps assume that you are best fitted to edit fashion or just talk about hair and that's your specialty or analyze lipstick. So I want to be an editor who talks about big stories. I'm not saying all like they're smaller stories, but I want to be an editor who can handle all stories in the newsroom and not just fashion or, you know.
Well, I just love your story, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you
so
much.
It's a great story. Olena, let me come to you here because your decision to become a journalist was based on an interesting premise earlier in your life. You wanted to find a way to move past your own bashfulness. You were shy. How did journalism solve that for you?
That's absolutely right.
I have a hard time imagining you being shy.
But I was really, really shy. You can ask my mom. Well, I thought that it's really something I should fight. And I had many friends in journalism, so I wanted to follow them. I wanted to overcome them. And so since early years, I tried to read as much as possible. I always loved writing, but I always had problem, you know, just talking over the phone or talking to strangers. And one day I thought, no, that's not going to work for me. So, well, day by day, and that's how I ended up getting an internship with my paper. So I was an intern for 2 years. And then,
and you're not shy anymore.
Yes, correct.
I'm wondering what it was like for you as a reporter when your country went to war with Russia after the invasion in 2014, because you wanted to go to the war zone to cover the fighting, but your newspaper said no. Why did you want to go and why wouldn't they let you?
Well, you know, when it comes to that point, when you don't know whether you have your country independent anymore, you think that you should take arms or anything else you can possibly do just to do something good for your country.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt. Unfortunately, my editors looked at me and said, hey, look at yourself. You even couldn't put on bulletproof vest. So there is no way we are sending you there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep you in Kiev and we'll find your stories or you can find them yourself and we can tell you you will do something good. And that's actually how I ended up collecting stories of killed young men And right now I have pretty big database of those young soldiers who died in the east of Ukraine.
And even then, your reporter, your editor still insisted on balanced reporting when you did those stories, getting even the Russian point of view, if I understand correctly. That's pretty extraordinary during a time of war. What did you make of that?
Well, you know, it was always a case in my paper that we need to talk to the other side. So even during the Euromaidan revolution, we had to report not only on the activist side, but on the side of pro-Russian activists as well, who were for the former president back then. And same
was called balanced reporting, right?
Yes,
getting both
exactly.
sides of the story, one of the foundations of our profession.
Right. Even though sometimes it could be really difficult and, you know, those people are not often willing to talk to you, and you feel really bad after just spending some time with them just because you know that their way of looking at life is just so distorted. So again, when the war began, we had to look to the other side. So we had to get some, you know, comments from people who are fighting on the other side of the barricades, just so our readers, not only in Ukraine but all over the world, or just, you know, decide for themselves which side are they on. So,
did you support that decision? Does that make sense to you?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Goce, again, our final guest from Turkey here, you work in a country where press freedoms are increasingly endangered. We were talking about that. Why is your country's leadership so angry at the media? Why do they feel so threatened by what reporters like you do?
Nah, I don't know, actually.
You wondered sometime.
Yeah. That's a problematic thing. It's just about politics in recent years. In recent 5 years, things have changed in Turkey. It's just pushed, maybe government pushed a systemically changed in Turkey to presidential system. We also see that some taking overs, media, and some certain problem about press freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a kind of political issue, and certainly we don't know it's getting worse.
I wanted to ask you about one particular incident. Your newspaper was once attacked by a mob carrying clubs and stones because the people in the mob were upset that the paper had misquoted your president, supposedly.
Yes.
What happened there? What's that like?
It was like hell because a crowd attacked our building while we were there. Broke glasses, windows, and attempt to go in there, the building, But our security just prevented that attack. It was like hell. It's kind of intimidation for us. But
did it work?
No, it didn't.
Why not?
Because we still continue that kind of news, objective comments and news against all odds. And that's the journalism we do.
Yeah. Well, I find the work that you do is inspiring. I hope you have a great experience here in the States, and I wish you all the best of luck as you go forward in careers that are so important to so many people. Good luck to all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That's Mercy Adhembo from Kenya, Olena Gocharova from Ukraine, and Goce Aitulu from Turkey.